time. Thank you, thank you. First Cherish Night in North County of 2017, girls. We're back. It just feels like yesterday. We were here last year doing our final Cherish Night of last year. Man, what a difference a year makes, eh? There's some excitement in this place tonight. I'm so happy you're here. Go ahead and grab your seats. If you were here, if you were at our central campus last night at our first night there, I want you to lift your hand. Who's double dipping? I love you guys. Thank you so much. This means the world to me to have you double dip like this, to come up and bring some enthusiasm and an amen to the crowd up here. And I'm telling you, I turned to Pastor Emma halfway through. I said, we're going to have to plan a Cherish Night at South pretty soon. Because with this much growth and with this much hunger in the women of San Diego, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit. And there's a big harvest field. Jesus identified it. He said, you know what? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers, because the harvest, the fields are white unto harvest. So there are so many women in our city that need to get switched on to their God purpose and find out that they have a daddy who loves them so much, rejoices over them with singing. Naomi, where are you? I was thinking of that today, actually, your incredible word from Sunday. One of my favorite movies is Moulin Rouge. I love that movie. So much gospel in that movie. And I kind of fall in love a little bit with Ewan McGregor as Christian in the movie every time I watch it. Just fabulous. But I was thinking about your word, God rejoicing over us with singing, because he sings a beautiful song and it escapes me now. So I guess I'm not meant to sing it, although I wanted to. So it's been stricken from my memory, probably for a good reason. So I'm excited to bring this word to you tonight. Oh, we're in exciting times. Girls, never has your voice or your presence been so needed on the planet. And just recently, Pastor Jürgen and I, as many of you know, had a vacation in Australia. And I was walking along one day after having coffee and I felt the Lord just drop a word into my spirit. He said, this is the first word I want you to share with my girls when Cherish kicks off next year. He said, I want you to tell them about their girl powers. Did you know you had girl powers? You have some girl powers. I'm not sure if you know this, but you're pretty influential. You're pretty significant. And regardless of what the world may try to tell you, your life and the timing of your existence on the planet is not an accident. God looked at this specific time in the history of the earth and he said, I need one of you for right now. So I want you to quit wishing that you were born in the 1900s with, what's his name out of, Mr. Darcy. Whenever women watch those movies, they're like, if only I lived then. Listen, there was no television, there was no Nordstrom's. Life was a lot harder. You had to wash your clothes in a sink. I reckon you'd last a minute. So thank God that you're living and breathing in 2017. And get happy with where God's put you, because he needs you. He needs you to be you. And I think particularly now, as I look at the state of the world, and really it's not an American issue, it's a global issue that we're facing right now. Women have been thrust into the center stage. In fact, I am an avid news reader, and a couple of days ago, I woke up to an alert on my phone telling me that there is a new conference getting momentum, not just across the US, but around the world, called Makers Conference. And it's a conference that's basically, their tagline is, the future is female. Yeah, pretty dang scary, if you ask me. The future is female. Okay, so welcome to a future where unchanged tires litter the landscape. Tax returns remain undone. Women are endlessly searching for somebody to zip up their dress. And guess what? Without those men folk we so desperately need and rely on, there ain't no babies. Because it doesn't matter what the world tries to tell you, woman and woman does not make a baby. So If the future is female, then, you know, we're about to change the future. Can I get a big amen on that? Because we need the men. And thank God we're not like them. And thank God they're not like us. You know what God said in the beginning? He said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. He said there should be no future that is female or future that is purely male. In fact, I'm going to make a helper that is comparable to you. She's going to have, Adam, what you don't have, and you're going to carry what she doesn't. And together, oh, it's going to be a beautiful thing. So Cherish isn't about hating on the men. In fact, at Cherish, we will teach you how to love the men in your world right. Because I don't want to live on a world, in a world without men. I'm just telling you right now. There'll be a whole lot of crying and emotions and feelings and abandoned cars and way too many vegans. Vegans as far as the eye can see. So I want to, you know, for those of you who know us, who know Cherish and who know C3 San Diego, for those of you that are new in here for the first time, and I saw a lot of hands go up, you're so welcome. We're so glad you're here today. I hope that you leave tonight feeling like I was in a place where I felt like I belonged and someone came up and talked to me and introduced themselves. And I hope you leave today having met a few friends. But somewhere along the line, I believe that the church believed or bought into the lie that the church should not have a voice in relevant world issues. That the world can be raging around us and going to hell in a handbasket, but then we gather together in church and we pretend like nothing's happening and we sing Kumbaya and Joy is the Flag Flown High, and then go back out into that chaotic world and have absolutely no relevance or impact. Well, we're not that kind of church. And actually, I don't believe that's in any way what God wants us to do. In fact, Jesus said, Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you would allow them to be in the world, but not have the world in them, so that the world might be saved. See, the world needs your voice. The world needs you. It actually needs to know some answers to some burning questions. So just recently in Washington, there was a women's march. And, I mean, 700,000 women storming Washington is quite significant. And I believe it deserves a response from the church. And I wonder, especially as a women's pastor, what many of us think our response should be as women. And as God was giving me this download and this word called girl power, he said, I want you to remind the girls of the great power and influence I've given them, but how that influence can be used for either good or evil. And throughout Scripture, we see many examples of women using their girl power for good or for evil. So tonight, I want to talk about a few girl powers that you and I possess, and I want to ask us today to be women who use our girl powers for good and not evil and shine a light in a dark world that desperately needs an answer and needs to see Jesus. So the first thing I want to do is I want to put up a scripture, and I'm going to switch it around, boys, up the back there. I'm going to ask you to put up Proverbs 11:22 in the NIV here. You know, during the women's march, I couldn't help but feeling troubled at what I saw. You know, it was a women's march that was meant to represent freedom of speech and empowerment and freedom. But as I watched it, all I could see was women being devalued. It was a bit embarrassing, I'm going to be honest with you. I felt sad, and I didn't see women who were free. I saw women, in fact, who were captive to the bitterness of their past, captive to their rage, captive to their anger, captive to their lusts, captive to their perversions. But I believe that God wants something different for us. So look at this. It says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Now, I wanted to bring this scripture forward because I've heard a lot of people say that the Bible here is referring to the woman as a pig. But that's just not true. Yeah. The woman in this picture is the gold ring. And so God is literally saying, I did not create my beautiful daughters to adorn the body of a pig, to unify themselves with something that's unclean, filthy, rolls around in the mud, cannot be tamed, cannot be domesticated, cannot be trained, stubborn, screaming and oinking all the time, eating its own refuse. That's not what I created my daughters to attach themselves to. But rather, I see continually a beautiful picture of the answer that what the women of this world need right now, and that answer is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Look at this. A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? I think I'm in a room of those women tonight. She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. I want to tell you today, girls, what the world needs right now is a woman of virtue. The most powerful asset on the planet today, in the face of everything we are facing, the war against women. And yes, I do believe there is a war against women, but perhaps we may disagree on the context of what that war looks like. It's not a war against men. It's not a war against the government. It's not a war against laws being put on our body. It is a law against all the things that the enemy tries to keep us under: bitterness, unforgiveness, rage, stubbornness, arrogance. And I'm telling you, God wants to set us free today and let our light shine and be an example to the women of the world of what a godly, virtuous woman looks like. So I want to just open up a conversation. You ready to have a conversation tonight? You ready? If you're feeling a little bit agitated, that's okay. Just hang in there. I suppose we all do in church every now and then, feel like things are hitting us where it hurts. But man, if I can encourage you, don't get off that potter's wheel, because God has a way of grabbing even the most messed up piece of clay and turning it into a masterpiece. The first girl power that we can use for either good or evil is influence. Influence. I want to ask you today, what are we modeling to our daughters? Don't be under any illusion that your life and the way you live it is not impacting someone. We are all leading people somewhere. We just need to ask ourselves a question: how does my life, the way I live it, lead people? Does it lead them closer to God and the things of God, or does it lead them further away? There's a woman in the Bible by the name of Herodias, and I want to read her story today to you. And I think, you might see friends and people in the world in this story and be able to put two and two together and understand how important it is that we use our influence for good. One of the saddest things about the Women's March in Washington recently was the amount of kids there. Kids holding placards with words, that are completely inappropriate for an adult to hold, let alone a little kid. And sadly, they are just victims to their mothers, their sisters, their aunties, their friends, in some cases their fathers' bents and bitterness. And so they're there as innocent victims, holding up placards that they don't understand because their parents have used their influence for evil instead of for good. So in Mark chapter number 6, the Bible says this: for Herod himself had given orders to have John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, just so I can give you a little bit of backstory, he is the voice of the Lord in this story. He was a prophetic voice in the New Testament, and he's in prison right now. He's in Herod's prison. Herod was like the king of the time. And it says here, he had him arrested and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. So now it's a bit of a scandal. It's a little bit of like Real Housewives of Jerusalem going on here. There's some scandal going down, and Herodias has married her husband's brother. So it's like it's messed up, it's jacked up. And so John the Baptist enters the scene, and he's carrying the word of the Lord. And he's like, Herod, you can't live this way. You shouldn't be married to your brother's wife. That's not okay. It's not going to end well for you. But instead of listening to the voice of the Lord, here's what happens. It says, so Herodias nursed a grudge against John. Turn to the person next to you and say, nursed a grudge. Nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him. Smart man. Knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. But when Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. Somebody say influence. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? So right here, Herodias is presented with an opportunity. Will she let the grudge that she has nursed over the offenses of John the Baptist calling her onto the carpet over her choices, will she let it cause her to lead her daughter down a sinful path or a righteous path? Let's have a look. At once, as she said, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. She went and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Somebody say influence. At once, the girl hurried in to the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a dish. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John, killed the voice of the Lord in prison, and brought back his head on a dish. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. I want to ask today, what are we teaching our daughters? Are we teaching our daughters to nurse grudges? Are we teaching our daughters to operate with bitterness and vengeance and spite and anger and hatred? Or are we leading them to do what the book of Hebrews tells us to do, stir one another up into good works? The choice is ours. How are you going to use your influence today with those around you that God has called you to influence? Sadly, I see a lot of young women, a lot of young men sabotage because their mothers have nursed grudges. And how many people know whatever you nurse grows? Whatever you nurse gets bigger until you can't hide that baby anymore and it's plain for all to see. And before long, Herodias' daughter picked up her mother's grudge and made it her own. And because her mother couldn't hold her peace, and didn't love her daughter enough to deal with her offenses, those offenses became her daughter's offenses. And I want to tell you something about secondhand offense. It's worse than firsthand. It is worse. Do you want to know why? Because it's an offense without context. All Herodias' daughter knew was, this man was mean to my mom. He hurt my mom's feelings. Now, I'm sure that she wasn't privy to the secret conversations behind closed doors that John was having with King Herod about this. She didn't know the context. All she knew was that her mum did not like this man. Her mum despised this man. She hated this man. And because this was her mother, she believed her. He must be evil. He deserves to die. And I wonder how many of us nurse grudges that we then pass on to our children. Oh, all men are cheaters. You can't trust a man. And instead of dealing with your hurts correctly by surrendering them to the Lord, you nurse that grudge, you pass it down the generations, and before you know it, she's married and she's got a bent of her own. And sadly, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I wonder today what grudges we need to get rid of, stop nursing and start to starve. What things are you passing on? Maybe it's racism. I want to keep it real today. And I want to say that racism is not confined to just one race of people. It is across the board. And I tell you what, I have shed tears over this issue in America. It is shocking how it has divided our nation. And I want to say to you today, as the female leader of this church, do not buy into the race war. The devil loves it. Oh, he works at the place of division. And if he could stir up anger and stir up pain and stir up bitterness and unforgiveness, don't you think he'll do it? Of course he's going to do it. He lives to divide the ecclesia. He lives to attack the church. He lives to attack the bride. He wants us divided. He doesn't want us united. He wants us divided. Do not buy into the race war. Refuse. I refuse. I'm not going to do it. You know what? I believe that Martin Luther King was a prophetic voice to this generation. He said, I'm not going to judge a man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. And I believe if all of us could remove ourselves from the situation, get ourselves out of the frying pan, stand back and just judge people according to the fruit of their life and their character, instead of coming with a nurse grudge after so many years and judging everybody because of a bad experience from the past, it's time to let it go. What are you going to use your influence for? Spur one another toward good works. Is that enough for you to chew on? You getting that? Good. All right. The next girl power God has given us is the girl power of faith, hope, and love. You, standing in your right God calling, positioned as a daughter of the King right now, are the most valuable asset on the planet today. I'm not sure if you've realized, but the enemy has unleashed a spirit of fear and hopelessness on women like no other time before. Sadly, again, as I said, I'm an avid news reader. I was reading an article about a prominent celebrity who says that she, since President Trump's election, she has been so stressed and afraid that she hasn't been able to eat. And, I mean, that's sad to start with, isn't it? Because I personally love eating. So, but imagine if fear has so captivated your very being that you have lost touch with the fact that there is a God in heaven who sits and judges and watches over the ways of his people, and there is no king or authority in power that can subvert what God wants to do in your life. When you have that understanding, there is no fear that can grab a hold of your heart. But unfortunately, we're living in a culture where nobody's talking. So people are just like, oh, I'm afraid to say anything because people are going to call me all kinds of labels and I'll get persecuted if I speak the truth. Hello. We're getting persecuted anyway. ISIS is chopping people's heads off. And half these people aren't even saying anything. It's like they're chopping people's heads off. You want to talk about I don't want to get persecuted? We are living in the age of persecution right now. You're going to get persecuted with your mouth open or your mouth shut. So you might as well run at that persecution with some truth in your mouth. That's my way of thinking. At least kill me for a good reason. At least chop my head off with hearing the gospel on the way. Right? I mean, I've been called everything. A B, an F and B. I'm serious. I've been called it all. I posted a picture on Instagram of the two, of the former and present first ladies, during a gift exchange, going, what a beautiful example of unity. Something that we could learn from. I love this. How wonderful. And you'd think that I posted a picture of Freddy Krueger and says, this is the Christ or something. Like, I had to delete. I left a couple on there because I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave the less violent ones on there just so people can see what an idiot you are. But I had to go delete a whole lot of F-bombs and all kinds of things because, but I don't know why. Are we getting persecuted for just showing a happy picture these days? Well, There's a war on happiness. There's a war on two women getting along. Oh, but I want you to fight each other. I wanted Michelle to pull Melania's hair. Well, she didn't. Because she's sophisticated and Melania turned up with a gift because she's a nice woman, I guess, and they get along. Are you okay with that? Or do we need to turn everything into war? See, because I don't think we do. We've lost the art of kindness. You're not going to agree with everybody that you meet every day. Doesn't mean you have to have a cat fight. What's wrong with you? So anyway, I went off on a tangent there for a second, sorry. So anyway, this spirit of fear has been unleashed. Spirit of fear has been unleashed and people are acting irrationally. What a time for the church, for women like you and I to rise with a voice of faith, hope and love in our mouths. Opening people's eyes to the possibilities. Girls, we are Jeremiah 29:11 people. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Good plans to give you a future and a hope. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of Christ. That's the message of love that God wants to get out to the world. And there's people crippled by fear and because we're afraid of hurting them. And I could get rejected. Hello, you're gonna. Jesus said, they hated me, they're gonna hate you too. They persecuted me and they're going to persecute you too. Like he didn't even split hairs about it. He said it just like that. And we're still like puzzled. I don't understand. Well, you need to pick your Bible up, friend. And you'll get a whole lot more enlightened about how the world is going to look. Oh, but I don't want the world to hate me. What does the Bible says? If the world accepts you as its own, then you're not a Christian. But the world's going to hate you. Because they hated me first. And it's not you they hate, it's Jesus in you. So don't shove your light down. Don't hide it under a bushel and cease to speak the truth because you can't handle a bit of rejection. We've all been rejected. We all will be. It's one of the most prevalent spirits on the earth today. You've got to get good with a bit of rejection, girls. You've got to be okay with it. Anyway, I've got to share this story with you because it's just mind-bogglingly crazy. And the girls at Central couldn't believe it was even in the Bible yesterday. So get ready. Joan, you'll know this story. Genesis 19:30 says this. So this is a story about a guy named Lot. He used to live in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, which was so perverted that God's like, you know what? Yeah, lightning bolts coming your way. So Lot escapes with his daughters and his wife. She looks back, which is another story in itself, turns to a pillar of salt. I know, and you thought the Bible was boring. Oh, were you wrong? Okay, so here's what happens. Afterward, Lot left Zoar because he was afraid of the people there and he went to live in a cave. Okay, stop for a second. Write this down. Never live in a cave. People in caves do stupid things. When you isolate yourselves from other people, you end up doing things you would never consider if you had a friend next to you going, please don't do that. That's not wisdom. That's why we started Cherish. Because we wanted a whole lot of people next to you who wouldn't just be your cheerleaders, but would also be your nudges and go, what the hell are you doing? Put that down. Stop doing that. What you dating that guy for? That's part of the reason we started Cherish. So anyway, Lot lives with his two daughters. One day the older daughter said to her sister, there are no men left anywhere in this entire area, so we can't get married like everyone else. Well, that's because you're in a cave with your dad. Just get out of the cave, girlfriend. It's that simple. And our father, who will soon be too old to have children, and is going to be too old. So come, let's get him drunk with wine, and then we will have sex with him. That way we will preserve our family line through our father. What a sad, sad story. People who allow their lives to be led by fear end up doing really, really crazy things. They compromise in ways that people who live with a spirit of faith, hope and love would never dream of. You know what? But we're now in a world where, unfortunately, this would be labeled as preference. Oh, but it's my preference. And I can't blame them. Listen, these girls, Lot's daughters, they were raised in a culture of perversion. Sodom and Gomorrah was famous for perversion. There was nobody to tell them to live differently. The perversion around them was the perversion that was in them because there was no light in Sodom and Gomorrah. So they come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom and Gomorrah doesn't come out of them. Where's the church? Where are the light bringers, the truth tellers, the ones holding truth and mercy in their hands to tell these girls, you can do a whole lot better than having sex with your dad? Stop it. Things can be so much better than this, but because we've backed up and we don't want to say because it could be their preference, I can tell you right now, if they knew that any one of these four men was an option on the stage that were on the stage singing here before, I'm sure it would not have been their preference. We got to help women to lift up their eyes. The world is not as hopeless and as desperate and as shallow and as pathetic and fear-inducing as you think it is. God has a plan for your life. And when you align your life with His purposes, the Bible says your paths will drip with abundance. There's a better way, but if the church shuts its mouth, then the world loses its conscience. We have to stand up, girls. We have to speak the truth. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And I'm telling you, it's the time for a double stand. You're not going to just have to stand once, you're going to have to stand again. But here's the thing, this is why we've backed up from standing, because we think when we stand, we have to be mean. That if I'm standing, I'm doing it with a grimace. And I'm standing with a placard that says, turn or burn. Bible says that God draws us through His loving kindness. He draws us through His loving kindness. He draws us through His mercy, but He cleanses us and unwraps us from our sin through His truth. Bible says there will come a day where truth falls in the streets and all those who speak up for righteousness will be attacked. And I kind of think we're in that time. But I want to encourage you, ladies, don't be afraid of being attacked and persecuted. Because for all the ones that reject the words of truth and mercy that you bring, there will be some that will accept them. In fact, I'm here with a large group of women who, when presented with the truth, instead of rejecting it, they accepted it. And what God wants to do in your life, He wants to do in theirs as well. We've got to get these girls out of caves with their fear and their anxiety issues, making all kinds of compromises, and stop being afraid of having the right conversation at the right time and telling them that there is a better life waiting for them in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? Point number three, our third girl power that God wants us to wield is the power of forgiveness. Power of forgiveness. When I again looked at the recent women's march, what I saw was a whole lot of women who were stuck in their victimness, stuck in their victim mindset. I am a rape victim. I am a neglect victim. I am a victim of racism. I am a victim of misogyny. I am a victim of Islamophobia. I am a victim. I am a victim. I am a victim. Listen, that's why the gospel is so powerful. Because the minute you accept Jesus into your life, you cease to be a victim and you become a victor. You become a daughter of the King. You become an heir to all of His promises and everything shifts. But sadly, I think a lot of us, even in the church, have held on to our victim mindsets. You know, just recently, I was telling the girls at Central last night, Pastor Jürgen took me out for a date night. He's very generous. Took me out for a date night. We went to the Rock Bottom Brewery in La Jolla. His choice, not mine. He loves to try new things. He's always pumped. And wherever we go, he's always like, oh my gosh, babe. America is amazing. I'm like, you got wings and a beer. You get that everywhere. Like, what is more amazing about this? But he's just loving it. Oh, I love going new places. America, America, America. And so we were enjoying our wings and beer. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there and I started to like get really sad. And I was thinking of a memory of back when, about 20 years ago, when we were in New Zealand, and how my husband was really mean to me. I'm just sitting there, I mean, eating my buffalo wings and starting to get teary. He's over there with his little bib thing, eating away, chomping, loving life, loving America, loving Rock Bottom Brewery. And I'm on the other side of the booth like, ah. He's like, babe, are you okay? I'm like, oh, I just remembered. 20 years ago, when we were in New Zealand, and I had Geordie, and it was such a long, hard labour, 18 hours. It was so long and so hard. I needed 2 epidurals to cope with it. And I asked you why God would allow for me to have such a hard, long labour, and you said, I don't know, maybe there's sin in your life. True story, people. So I'm sitting there, ruining a perfectly good date night with a perfectly wonderful husband who treats me like a princess by digging up a memory from 20 years ago. You know, I thank God that I'm married to a man who calls me out immediately. He does not let the sun go down on one of my nasty attitudes, just saying. He called me out straight away. He's like, you need to just stop being a victim. You're being a victim right now. And like called me out and I'm like, oh, okay. You're right, you're right. Dry my eyes. Oh, okay. Because here I was sitting like the beneficiary of his love and care and devotion and many Nordstrom trips and upgraded rings every 10 years of our marriage and trips to Hawaii. And I'm behaving like this absolute turkey, dragging stuff from 20 years ago into the present and trying him for the crime again, ruining a beautiful moment with an old stinky memory. You know, the Holy Spirit said to me, Leanne, it's like you every now and then. And this wasn't the first time, I'm just telling you. I'm a repeat offender. This wasn't the first time I have dug up an old corpse from the past and then sat it next to me in the booth. You know what? I wonder how many of us have done that. We're walking through life wondering why life stinks, but we're dragging around a 20-year-old corpse going, life stinks. What's that stench? Something smells bad in here. I think it's my husband. He's a jerk. I think it's my friends. I think it's my church. I think it's where I'm employed. All my bosses stink. Why is it that every husband I have, every boyfriend I have, every friend, every relationship I go into, every job I join, they all stink? I don't understand. Listen, it's not the boyfriend, it's not the husband, it's not the job, it's not the church. You're just dragging around a 20-year-old carcass that you need to put in the ground. It's like Weekend at Bernie's every day of the week. Bam. Girls, that weekend has lasted decades. It's time for us to have a funeral. Put that baby in the ground. Cover it with dirt once and for all, never again to return with your shovel to dig it up and pop it next to you at the Rock Bottom Brewery in La Jolla while your wonderful husband suffers because of the stench of the corpse you got sat next to you. It's time for us to start to be women who learn how to forgive. We got to let some stuff go. You wonder why life stinks. What are you carrying? What corpse needs to go in the ground, girls? Think about it for a second. What do I need to bury? Bible tells us in Proverbs 17, verse 9, that love prospers. How many people would like a prosperous love life? Lift your hands. I know that's all of you. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. It's time to stop dwelling on some stuff. Some of us, like I was, have been carrying around memories of offenses and bents, and we have labeled ourselves a victim when God's like, girl, what are you talking about? I've positioned you for victory. You've overcome. You're not just an overcomer. You have overcome. And here you are sitting down like you're a victim. You're not a victim. It's time for us to get a bit of a warrior on our princess. Oh, I want to be a princess. Well, you know you are. But God would like to add some warrior to that princess, just saying. Go on, give it a bigger applause than that, I think. Yeah. Some of us need to take that one. And lastly, and I'm going to ask the band to come, our magnificent crew. I believe one of the greatest girl powers that God has given us is the girl power of conversation, a voice. Not just the voice to talk to other people, but a voice to talk to Him. Women have been thrust onto center stage with everything that has been going on in the world. And, you know, I just think it's interesting to see how some people protest. I think how we protest says a lot about who we are. The things we protest, the way we protest, says a lot about who we are. And just recently, I've found myself, I don't know about you, but I have found myself getting very agitated with things that have been happening in the world. And I was talking to Pastor Becky a little while ago, and I was like, frustrated reading these articles. It's making me mad. And I get on Twitter and I'm mad. And then I retweet a mad tweet with an angry face. And Pastor Becky's like, well, Leanne, you just need to like put your phone in the corner or something. Like, you just need to stay off Twitter. She's right. You know what I realized? I'd been tweeting what I should have been praying. At one of the conventions just recently, Michelle Obama said this. She said, when they go low, we go high. I'm not sure if any of her crew actually are doing that, but it's still good advice. That's brilliant advice. Instead of going low, Twitter, outbursts of wrath, protest over here in ridiculous and obscene costumes, we've got to start to learn to go high and actually lift up our protest to the one person who is actually empowered to do something about it. Because see, you're going to bang your head against ceilings all the time in this world if you don't learn to send your prayer up to the one person that is empowered to do something about your situation. Man, I frustrated myself no end until God redirected my voice and said, Leanne, lift your voice to me. I'm the one that never sleeps or slumbers. I'm the one that watches over everything that happens in the earth. I am the one that is mighty to save. I am the one that can make what looks impossible become a possibility. Stop sending your frustrations and venting this way and start to protest and lift up your prayer to me. Listen, Jezebel used her voice to manipulate and to intimidate. And she did such a good job of it that everyone in her vicinity was frozen and paralyzed because of fear over her. She killed a neighbor because she wanted his field. She asked to buy it. He wouldn't sell. She's like, well, guess what? I'm going to kill you and steal it off you. And all the neighbors around Naboth, when they saw this injustice, even though they felt the frustration, even though they felt the anger over what had happened, did nothing because they were afraid. And I felt the Lord say to me, that is what has happened to my church, but no longer. It's about to shift. God is about to put some boldness on some and some courage in you. And you're going to find the right voice to project out to the world. because the world does need to hear your voice of truth. But you're going to find a voice to send up to God who never gets wearied by our continual coming and is well prepared and well able to do anything that we bring to Him in prayer. We can be like an Esther, friends. Listen, she was afraid. She was in a situation where she too had to make petition for a company of people that had been marked for death. But she did not stand back and watch her people die. She stepped forward and she petitioned the king for change. And I'm telling you, the spirits of death and the spirits of destruction and those spirits of Jezebel around her would have been gnashing their teeth, watching her as she took step after step after step after step. Because I'm telling you, that spirit of Jezebel that tries to silence the church is like a python. Venomless. Doesn't have any venom, but what it'll do is it'll squeeze you till your voice is gone, till you're crippled, and then you die. We come against that spirit of Jezebel and that spirit of Python that has tried to silence the voice of the prophets of God, the shepherds in this hour who are called to bring together the sheep and take them out of the places where ravenous wolves are attacking them and bring them into green pastures. We declare the word of the Lord will go forth with boldness, with courage, with accuracy. It will hit its mark. We will not be the walking wounded. We will not be hiding away in our caves making bad decisions. We're going to step up to the plate. We're going to stand in the gap. We're going to stand there for armed with truth and love and mercy. And we are going to see a generation of women turn out of their dysfunction, out of their chaos, out of their anger, their lust and their perversion, and positioned to glorify and worship God in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout a hand of praise and glory to God for His goodness. Oh, for God so loved the world. Oh, He loves the world. He's not happy. He's not happy when women perish. He's not happy when they live a life that is so far beneath what He wants for them. But He's counting on you and I. He said, I filled you with My Spirit so you would share the good news. Don't allow yourself to be inoculated by the enemy and euthanized from the purpose that God has put on your life. Believing God's going to fill you with boldness. And when those conversations come up at work and they come up with your family that aren't believers, that you're not going to be afraid and sit silently anymore. Doesn't mean you stand and be mean and say, I hate you all. God rules. No. God is going to give you wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. And you're going to be able to answer their questions. They're going to marvel at the wisdom that's on your life and your courage. I am telling you, I'm more impressed than ever with people of courage because there's so many fraidy cats out there. Like, honestly, I was looking. I'm sure there's other female leaders out there speaking into this stuff. I'm certain there must be. But I tell you what, I haven't found many of them. And it saddens me, but it's not going to stop me. Not going to stop me. If I am the only one talking about the things that matter, then so be it. Because guess what? When I talk about them with you, now I've empowered you, you're going to go out, you're going to declare the good news, and we're going to start to see a shift in our city. We're going to see a shift in our city in Jesus' name. Things are going to turn around, my friends. Matthew 16:19 says, I have given you the keys from heaven. Somebody say, me. Whatever you prohibit on earth will have been prohibited in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will have been permitted in heaven. Friends, our lack of prayer has meant that things have been permitted that should have been prohibited, and things have been prohibited that should have been permitted. But we're about to turn that around because God is raising up a whole group of women that know how to pray, that know how to stand in the gap, that will stand as warriors, fearless warriors, who will bind, who will loose. I'm seeing laws change in this nation. I'm seeing things turned around. I prophesy right now, life is going to come back into our nation. God is going to come back into our schools. I'm telling you right now, purpose is going to start to come back into the hearts of the hopeless because of the prayers of praying women. God is about to shift something. You and I are the the resistance. We are the resistance. You got some girl power, girlfriend. Let's put it to good use. We're going to be starting a prayer meeting, a Cherish prayer meeting. We're going to start it at Central, just because we're going to start at the beginning and then we'll go out there. But we want all our Northians to join us if you can. It's going to happen every Thursday from now until hopefully forever. March 16th, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. at Central. So we're going to get up nice and early and we're going to give the devil a good old spanking, give glory to God, and we're going to shift some things because there's stuff that God's wanting to do in our nation, but he's waiting for a prayer warrior like you to come and amen the words that he's spoken. There's some stuff that he's going to ask us to prohibit on earth, and other things he's going to ask us to permit. He's like, will you agree with me to permit this and prohibit that? I'm so believing that things are going to turn around. Like, just mark my words. Let's remember. Let's put this date as a milestone. Something's going to shift. I see Roe v. Wade being overturned in Jesus' name. And I don't say that to bring condemnation to people that have been there, done that. And I'm not just pro-birth. I'm pro-pre-birth and pro-after-death. The whole kit and caboodle, friends. I care about you before you breathed your first breath, and I care about you after you've breathed your last, because there's a pre-birth and then there's an after-death, and I'm invested in all of them, and so is God. So, but I'm believing. I just reckon there's something's going to shift in America, because here's the thing. When America sneezes, the world gets a cold. Yeah. It's going to start here, and like a ripple effect, things are going to change. The world is already standing up and paying attention to what is happening in this nation. Don't think for a second that it's insignificant that you were born right now, right here, in this nation, positioned with a God call on your life to make a difference. So join us, the resistance. March 16th is the kickoff date, 7 a.m. But I want to pray for you. Let's come to an end, 8:30, perfect. Hey, if you're here, and as I've been speaking, well, everybody just grab a seat just for 1 second. You've been seeing yourself in the message in the sense that, wow, I realize that I have allowed myself to be suffocated by that python spirit that has intimidated me and made me afraid to share the truth about Christ and the truth about the things I know and the truth to people that are perishing. And I know that we're all in situations where we meet people who would be so benefited by what we know, but for fear we hold it in. For fear of rejection, for fear of being labeled, oh, you're just a narrow-minded, bigoted, misogynist, homophobe, whatever. I mean, the labels, I mean, they're endless right now. Okay, I've been called all of them on Instagram. So I'm kind of immune. It's like water off a duck's back now. But listen, if that's you, if you felt yourself stifled, silenced, like the enemy has literally taken out your voice box and made you a mute, I want you to stand to your feet, because that's a spirit. It's a devil. It's called a spirit of intimidation. And the Bible says that God didn't give you a spirit, a demon of intimidation, but he gave you a spirit of power. You're going to find your power. You're going to get your power turned on. Love. You're going to know how to love and be loved. And a sound mind. Ever notice that people that walk in fear also walk in confusion? Makes sense. The minute you align yourself with to be the faithful woman of God that God's called you to be, you'll find that clarity will come. All of a sudden, oh, it used to be so foggy like it was tonight, but then clarity is going to come in the place of confusion. So stand to your feet if I'm talking to you. I'm going to pray. We're going to break that spirit off right now. We're going to break off that spirit, that lying, tormenting, silencing spirit of Jezebel. We come against you in the name of Jesus. I tell you right now to get your hands off these women of God. They will speak. They will carry the message of faith, hope, and love. They will be armed with the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. And they will walk and they will see breakthrough. They will stand against the enemy. They will not be afraid. They will not be ashamed. They will not be fearful. They will not be anxious or intimidated. We break that spirit's power off their lives in Jesus' mighty name. I declare today the righteous are as bold as a lion. Boldness is going to come upon you. Not just boldness, but wisdom to go with that boldness. You're going to speak the word of the Lord. You're going to see chains broken. You're going to see people set free. You're going to wake people up. It's like the world has been enchanted and they need the kiss from a prince to come and wake them up out of the enchantment. And you're going to be the catalyst for that kiss from heaven to come into their life. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare it. I deem it. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every voice arises against you in judgment. God will condemn. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Receive the word of the Lord tonight, North Campus. Receive the word of the Lord. Oh, you're born into a kingdom for such a time as this. You're an Esther. You're a star. You're called to point to the true North, Jesus Christ. People are